Welcome to the Royals Rundown Podcast, the premier Kansas City Royals podcast presented by Royals Review. I am the one and only Jake Milham, joined by my co-host, Jeremy Greco. Jeremy, how are we feeling tonight, man?
I think I'm ready to hibernate for the winter. kind of like the baseball news is doing.
Yeesh. I mean, that's the truth. It is the hot stove quickly turned to the cold stove this past week. Or what was it? Max dropped in that AI rewrite of our articles.
So Brad wrote us an article over on Royals Review. Hold on.
What was it?
He wrote cold stove thoughts, and they rewrote it as chili stove musings.
Ah. Yes.
So
obviously.
This is not even close to the first time some website has come by to scrape all of our content and reproduce it as its own. This is actually the best effort I've seen, because usually they just like literally word for word copy our stuff down and are like, yep. And then they'll like, even they'll copy the byline, and I'm like, I definitely did not write that for you.
Yeah. But here, it was a whole thing in the Royals Review Slack. You are missing out on that. But hey, you can join that. What you can join, though, is you can join Royals Review on X. You can join them on Facebook, and you can join the comment community on RoyalsReview.com. Highly suggest joining them over there. But if you just want to interact with us crazy buffoons, the best way to do that is on Spotify Q&A. So if you're listening on Spotify, you get exclusive access to our polls and questions and answers. And on last week's episode, the last episode, I asked, is Thanksgiving overrated as a holiday? Why or why not? Do you think it's overrated? Yeah, I want to hear your answer, Jeremy.
So here's the thing. There's kind of two ways to look at it, right?
Okay.
As a celebration of whatever the hell we're celebrating. I know, colonialism. It's a little overrated. And I got to tell you, my mom cooks good turkey and good sides. Those are not easy things necessarily. Like, green bean casserole is not easy to actually make good. Turkey is not easy to make good, especially if you're trying to roast a whole turkey at one time. So, like, the food is just like, yeah, go figure that out. Why don't you? And like I said, the celebration stuff is just like a little sketchy. But if you look at it, as I have always done, as a holiday where you celebrate your thankfulness for my existence, because I was born around Thanksgiving, and I've always argued that people knew that I was, you know, foretold to come, and so they started celebrating ahead of time, and they weren't sure like what day. They're like, the fourth Thursday of November probably will be sufficient. It's probably around there somewhere.
Yeah.
If that's how you celebrate it, then yeah, you're good. That's the absolute correct way to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Hell yeah, the prince that was promised, Jeremy Greco, everyone over here.
I don't really think of myself as a prince. Maybe I'm formerly known as a prince.
Oh, okay, yeah, that, you know what, I think that fits in as well. let's take a moment to hear from our listeners, you folks out there hearing me yammer on. So we got two responses. First, from Corey Michael, they said, food centric best holiday. Cannot disagree with that, and that goes to your point, Jeremy.
What holidays aren't food centric? Please explain to me, because I gotta tell you, like, Christmas, everybody, you got your goose, which I've never actually had, but at my house, we have the prime rib on Christmas Day is what we do. Yeah. And then we got the spaghetti that we do, spaghetti and meatballs on Christmas Eve. Like, Easter, you got your ham or your lamb, right? Mm-hmm. New Year's, we always do like a whole bunch of appetizers, like cheese dip, junk food, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
Halloween, we always do pizza, like, and candy, on Halloween. Like, all of our holidays are food-centric. Food is a part of celebration.
Yes.
Exactly. So, if that's all that Thanksgiving has, I'm sorry to just keep banging on this drum. If that's all that Thanksgiving has, I say.
Dang, Jeremy. Dunking on Thanksgiving. It's only been a week. Jeez. And lastly, Luke 57 said, it's one of the best holidays. All of the food, let's see, day or days, if you have done a good job, and no pressure to give gifts. That is a good point. Yeah. A full day of food and football. What else can you ask for?
You could go to a Golden Corral on a Sunday.
Oh my gosh.
And you have a whole day of food and football. I'm just saying.
I'm not having the green bean casserole from Golden Corral, Jeremy, okay?
Good. I'm just saying.
Oh my word. Listen, I like the fact that there's no wrong way to celebrate Thanksgiving. There's no outlandishly there. I'm sure there's an outlandish way to celebrate Thanksgiving. I'm sure there is. But
if you dress up as a Native American, you're celebrating Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right. You got me there. You got me there, Jeremy. I can't disagree with that. Oh man. But hey, it is, you have some basic tenets of Thanksgiving, however you want to rank them. I love the food. I do love me some Thanksgiving football. I will say there's something special about Thanksgiving football games. The Black Friday thing that they did this year, not for me.
Oh, I was talking about that actually with a friend after we talked about it on the last podcast, and they pointed out that this probably is kind of the way it is because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Because in 2020, it was still big enough in people's minds that they didn't really want to go out and shop in the same way that they had. So they had to do it online, and there were all the shortages and the shipping delays and blah, 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 blah. So it kind of changed the dynamic. And then they were like, hey, we can make money this entire time. It'll be great. But just to kind of reemphasize the point we were making, that like Black Friday is no longer a single day. It's the whole month of November. It's not even just the whole month of November. I've got an ad sitting in my email right now telling me about the Black Friday deal I can get until December 4th.
Oh my gosh. Good Lord. Yeah, no, that ain't Black Friday. That's Black Month. That is Black Fortnite, maybe.
It's like the black last 2 months of the year. Please spend all of your money.
Yep, that is consumerism for you. You love it, hate it. That's what it is. Well, hey, Jeremy, we're actually here supposed to be talking about some Kansas City Royals baseball, but like we said before, it's kind of been a pretty cold few days for Royals baseball. I want to kick it on over to you, though, for some transactions to talk about.
Right on. So the Royals didn't make any transactions since the last time we talked, but there were a few transactions that Royals fans may be interested in. The Twins lost 40% of their rotation. I mean, Ooh. They lost them to free agency prior to that. But Kenta Maeda went to the Tigers, so he stays in the division, but he's no longer with the Twins. And Sonny Gray, who came very close to winning a Cy Young Award this year with his excellent performance, is joining the St. Louis Cardinals. So glad to see him out of the division. Bummer to see him with the hated Cardinals, I suppose. Yeah. But I do have to wonder what the Twins' plans are. Does anyone actually want to win the AL Central?
I don't think so.
At this point, the Royals, Tigers, and White Sox are not capable of it. They just aren't. Yeah. And the Guardians and the Twins are just like, if I win the division, okay, I guess. Fine. There's no effort being put in by either. It's bizarre in the extreme. The Guardians just traded for Scott Barlow. They're like, Scott Barlow is going to shore up the back of our bullpen. Yeesh. Okay, guys. I gotta tell you, I don't think that's gonna work the way that you think it's gonna work. But there was one more transaction, which was very exciting, which is former Royals farmhand and guy that I kept begging the Royals to give a chance to. Brewer Hicklin has signed a minor league deal with an invite to spring training, big league spring training, a chance to crack a big league roster. And of course, he signed it with the Brewers.
Oh,
Brewer Hicklin is a Brewer.
Oh, that fits so well.
Right.
Next, we're going to have the Milwaukee Hicklins.
Oh, my goodness. It's so I'm very happy for him.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see where that goes. Hopefully, I'd love to see him win a spot over there and just see if he can eke out a career somehow.
I would as well. I don't think that he was ever a bad player at the AAA level. He produced to his own right, but he was just never quite a transcendent enough prospect to force his way to the major league roster.
Couldn't beat out Edward Olivares.
Yeah, that was a big roadblock, massive roadblock for all the Royals prospects out there. Oh my word!
So those are the only transactions of note that I am aware of in the MLB. In MLB, not the MLB. Major League Baseball doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't, but that's okay. You got it, Jeremy. Hey, one thing that I wanted to talk about, something I didn't realize, is someone reported the breakdown of Sonny Gray's contract, and it's very NFL-esque. In that it's severely backloaded. Like he's going to make only $10 million this year, and then it jumps up to $25 million, and then it jumps up to 30 some odd million. I'm blanking on the math.
I thought it was a $75 million deal, so wouldn't that be?
I thought it was as well.
$40 million in that last year.
Yeah, let me.
It's got to be close to $40 million if it's not $40 million.
Right. It's probably in that range. But either way,
that is pretty crazy.
It's some big stair steps there. So I'm curious to see what the Cardinals are going to continue to do, because like the Royals, they have a lot of issues to try and amend.
Not 106 losses worth of issues.
No, not at all. Let's see. The only other transaction that's really happened today is, or was that yesterday? No, that was today. The Emilio Pagan signing by the Cincinnati Reds. Another player lost from the Minnesota Twins, who really had just a stellar 2023 season. I mean, he was on it. It wasn't a all-star season from him, but I mean, the 2.99 ERA, a sub-1 whip, like I would absolutely take that from my closer.
Yeah, and the Royals obviously were never going to be in on a Sonny Gray at those prices, but they could have afforded a Kenta Maeda, certainly. Do you have the money for the Pagan deal?
The Pagan deal with the Cincinnati Reds is a 2-year, $16 million contract. So 8 years annually is how that breaks down, you know,
8 years
on
annually.
On average. Sorry.
Eight years.
Yeah.
Annually.
Oh, my gosh. $8 million a year.
I mean, if he can put in 8 years per year, that's, I don't know what that even means, but it does seem impressive.
That is some great production. I mean, one game is actually 8 games.
Unless it's 8 games worth of runs.
Ooh.
For one game pitched. Oh.
Yeah, that's very true. Oh my gosh. Wow. That was, telling on that.
The Twins are just, I don't get it.
I don't either.
It's so frustrating because when the Royals were good in 2014 and 2015, right? They were not the only good team. The Tigers were really good. The Guardians were pretty good. The Twins were competitive. It's so frustrating that like the Royals could only be good when they actually had to fight for it. Yeah. And now that all the other teams are awful, they're just like, yeah, we're just actually going to be the worst out of them.
There's no sense of urgency from the AL Central teams. If this offseason is any indication, the I mean, I'm sure those other fan bases can rest on strong farm systems a little bit more, or some highlights in the farm system. The Royals can't do that. That's nope. That's not this team's bread and butter.
Yeah.
Did you see the here we were going to talk about what we're writing next anyways, I think. So I had an article go up this morning on Kings of Kauffman talking about the Zips projections for the Kansas City Royals. I do want to give credit where credit is due. I thought that there was, yeah, Max did have a piece on it yesterday morning. Listen, long story short, it is Bobby Witt Jr. and a whole bunch of guys, according to the Zips projections.
In the bullpen, it's questionable whether it's even a whole bunch of guys.
Yeah.
I cannot overstate how astonishingly bad that bullpen, if you haven't seen the Zips projections, the entire bullpen is projected to a negative 0.1 FWAR. The entire bullpen together is a below average bullpen. That is just, it's unreasonable. It's unheard of. If you go and you look at, like, if you look at the lineup side of things, like, there's positive projections all around the roster. Mm-hmm. You know, not any highlights, but like, even if you're looking in left field at NJ Melendez and Edward Olivares, it's like, well, they'll probably be worth at least half a win. But yeah, when he looks at the bullpen, he's like, no, this bullpen will cost them runs and games. And yeah, it's just astonishing how bad your bullpen has to be for that projection to occur.
Yeah, and it is. I do want to clarify this. The one, Zips projections, really good. Pretty accurate. Has been for a long time. If I saw correctly, Dan Zimborski put out that this is year 20 of the Zips system. So it's been around for a minute. One thing that he does make clear, though, is these are the projections if this player has to play X amount of games.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I was shocked when I saw a guy like Nate Eaton getting 425 plate appearances. I'm like, okay, if Nate Eaton is getting that workload, he's either doing really good or we're really bad. There's no in between. And, you know, I'm not going to base my lineup projections off of these Zips projections, but it just shows how shallow this organization is on MLB talent. And it's very frustrating to see. It does not inspire any confidence heading into 2024, especially looking at other teams in their projections and like, hey, we have about five more guys who can come in, make their MLB debut, and according to these numbers, produce at a competent MLB level. That's right. Not the case with the Royals. Nope. Very, very small margin for error. And it just shows that this team needs some more talent. It needs to go out and be aggressive on the free agent market to acquire said talent or move on from some of these players that they are clinging to, like Nick Prado, who is compared to Marv Blalock. That's a stellar comparison. What I'm being. Let's see, where did Marv played for 4 years in the MLB, worth a 0.3 FWAR across his 4 years.
There's you following me with the MLB.
Ah, gosh dang it, man.
It's hard.
This is just not my night. This is just not my podcast, man.
Nah, it's fine. I think I talked about this on Sunday. Royals Review also had an article talking about like how if the Royals want to get better, trading isn't going to be a good option. If I didn't talk about it Sunday, I've definitely talked about it on Twitter. Because the Royals you have to have talent to trade. And the Royals don't have any. They got Kyle Wright because Kyle Wright was not going to pitch this year.
Right.
And everything that they trade is going to be based on some other team thinks they can get more out of that player than the Royals can. But that means that they're only going to give up players that they don't think they can get anything out of.
And
so you're going to end up with a 33-year-old reliever with an injury history, or a starter who has had shoulder surgery and no one knows when he's going to pitch again or if he's going to pitch again. Mm-hmm. It's just, if they're going to get better, it's going to have to be through free agency and it's going to have to be through the draft. Obviously the draft takes a long time. I was, saw Preston Farr wrote an interesting write-up about Blake Mitchell today.
Oh yeah.
And so I looked at that and his numbers aren't necessarily inspiring any confidence in his future, though again it's super early and he's a high school kid, so you can't read too much into that. But it's just, the hope is as you said, not in the organization. So they're gonna have to go out and spend some on free agents if they're going to get better at all.
Yeah.
And there's real legitimate reason to question whether they're going to do that, I think.
Yeah, they would have to go against so much of their history as a franchise to go out and be above average aggressive in the free agent market. You know, we saw a couple of years in, you know, 14, 15, where I want to say following 14, they were fairly aggressive in free agency and going out and getting a guy like Kendrys Morales, who was a big market bat at that time.
He was coming off that awful 2014 with the Twins.
Oh, okay.
And Edinson Volquez was a guy who had a very good 2014, but he'd not been good for several years before that. So even, and I agree with you that 2014 was one of their more aggressive years free agent wise. Even in one of their more aggressive years, they weren't that aggressive. Yeah. They did not retain James Shields. They did not retain Irvin Santana. There just was a lot. The Chris Young was another big signing.
Oh yeah,
and he was like right before spring training for a few million dollars. So the aggressiveness is just not the most aggressive they've ever been was at the trade deadline in 2015 when they were like, listen, we're gonna go get Johnny Cueto, we're gonna go get Ben Zobrist. That was the best starting pitcher and the best position player kind of available at that deadline. That was extremely aggressive. And obviously it paid off because they won the World Series that year with help from both of those guys. So yeah, kudos to them for that. But yeah, aggressiveness in the free agency market is not a hallmark of this team.
No, not at all. Not at all, my man. So, hey, we can still hold out hope, though, right?
I mean, if we're not hoping that they're going to sign some free agents, I don't know what we're hoping for at this point.
Yeah.
We're hoping for miracles.
Do you believe in miracles? All right, Jeremy, what do you got working for Royals Review over there?
Let's see. So, what did I write last week?
wasn't it the championships article about the Mets, or am I missing a week?
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Okay. It was the mixed
this one was about the
one.
Mixed signals.
Yeah.
About I was trying to figure out like the move to trade Jackson Kowar is pretty aggressive, but keeping Josh Taylor is not very aggressive. So there's just confusion for me.
I want to ask why do those moves confuse you?
Well, when you trade a Jackson Kowar for a Kyle Wright, what you're saying is we're going high risk, high reward here, because Jackson Kowar, even with the Royals, could still turn into a serviceable reliever at the very least. He showed flashes of that. And as I've kind of mentioned with Kyle Wright, no one knows if he's going to pitch again. If he does, well, he's got that pedigree of being a Cy Young contender. Yeah, I'm shrugging and no one can see that. That's bad podcasting. you don't know. So it's a high risk, high reward move. Whereas keeping Josh Taylor on this roster is very low risk, low reward. And it kind of signals like, yeah, we're not going to be aggressive, because if you think you're going to be aggressive in free agency, then you think you're going to need that roster spot. And you go, because Josh Taylor's got to be one of the first guys off the roster. If you add guys to it, he's got to be. So you've just guaranteed $1 million to a guy who's got to be one of the first ones off the roster if you're going to add to it, which means, tells me, you don't think you're going to add to it.
Fair.
And that's it's just like, are you? So then it becomes, well, maybe the Jackson Kowar trade is just a margins trade that they're like, well, we really don't even think we can get him to be a regular reliever. And who knows what could happen with Kyle Wright. It's just a shot in the dark. And they're otherwise not planning to make a lot of moves. I have not heard about Kansas City being in on any free agents, basically.
Yeah.
I see all these free agent projection articles. At least last year, people were like, oh, they might sign Brandon Nimmo. These guys, this guy, that guy. Lugo, I think. Seth Lugo. Seth
Lugo, yep.
He's the only one that's been linked to the Royals, and that was right at the end of the year, and nothing's been talked about that since. They were supposedly trying to trade for Marcana, but obviously that didn't happen, and you have to wonder, like, how hard were they trying? How hard were they able to try? So it's just, again, there's a lack of urgency, and it's frustrating to see, and it's confusing, and it's like, what is this? Does this team want to get better? And my, it's kind of cynical answer from the stuff I've read about the Padres and MLB in general, with the interest rates and all this stuff happening, is that no, they probably don't. They probably want to save all their money for the real estate development that they're trying to make happen. And they're probably not interested in winning, because winning isn't going to make them enough more money to justify the expenses. And to them, which again, I will reiterate for the 5,000th time, to them, this is purely business. All they care about is what makes the most money, and winning doesn't make the most money.
No, it doesn't. And that's been proved in the past, that winning and spending to win is not a smart business venture at all. I do want to talk about this with how aggressive the Royals may or may not be this offseason, especially in the free agency market. So one, I do want to point out that, you know, sometimes there are moves in the background that, you know, fans just aren't going to hear about because it didn't happen. Okay, and we don't get a whole lot of leaks from the Kansas City Royals. There's not constant media pressure on the Royals that causes those leaks to spring up. What I will say in regards to that is, I heard that, you know, someone came to me and said, "Hey, here's what the Royals are doing." I was like, "Okay, that's interesting." They told me that the Royals are, quote, pursuing top 4 to 5 starters left on the free agency market. And this was after the
Sonny Gray.
After the Sonny Gray signing. I was like, okay, that is very interesting. Doesn't stop there though, unfortunately. I vet some of my stuff through another guy who is much more prolific in breaking MLB news than I am, a lot better connected. And I told him this, asked him how, you know, how he was feeling about it, what he'd heard. And his response was, quote, "I asked someone at Scott Boras.
Yeah.
Yep. And their response was, quote,
yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. So that is most likely what is actually going on with the Kansas City Royals. Yeah. That is very frustrating that it would get that sort of response, but that is just kind of who the Kansas City Royals are at this point.
And that response is even more informative to me than it is on the surface, right?
Yeah.
Because if the Royals were pursuing any free agents worth talking about, I don't think you get an LOL response, right? I think that's like, yeah, the Royals aren't doing anything. I cannot believe you even asked me that question.
Yeah, it is it is tough. Didn't Scott Boras serve as the agent for Mike Moustakas?
He might have. He's been the agent for so many players over the years. or his company has at least, that I can't even keep track of them all. I feel like Hosmer and Moustakas were both Boris agent or both Boris players. I feel like Bobby Witt Jr. is one.
Oh boy, I hope that is not the case. Hold on, I'm looking that up right now. Let's see. I am not seeing a corporation listed for him. I will say this over Mike Moustakas. I know Moustakas is still a active player, so it might have changed since his Royals days, but he is listed under the Boris Corporation right now. So that is, there is probably some truth to that. I really hope, listen, we've talked about the Bobby Wood Jr. extension plenty of times on this podcast before. If that is the response coming from the company who might serve as Bobby Wood Jr.'s representative in a contract extension, that would be terrible, in my opinion. That would just pour cold water on any possibility of an extension in Kansas City, in my mind.
Bobby Witt Jr.'s agent is his dad.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Cool. I like it.
And Octagon Baseball is the company. And apparently, according to Google, Scott Puccino is a partner there and does a lot of the negotiating stuff too. So,
okay, all right.
Something between Bobby Witt's dad and Scott Puccino. I've never heard of Scott Puccino.
I didn't either.
But his name is here, so I'm just gonna Scott Puccino. It's a fun name just to say.
Say it over and over again. That's all I needed to get off my chest, Jeremy.
So, you got any other articles coming out this week, you think?
Nothing in the hopper right now. I had that. I'm finishing up grades over on Kings of Kaufman. Mm-hmm. We tried to do the whole 40-man roster. We're kind of getting to the point where, hey, we need to move on from 2023 and look at 2024. I think the Zips projections give us a good jumping point, so I'm going to start working on that. But man, it is just a tough time for writing anything baseball related about the Kansas City Royals.
The winter meetings are next week, so hopefully that'll help pick things up.
Hopefully.
But my planned article for this weekend is that in top X moments in the MCU that I kind of stumbled upon the idea a few podcasts back. I think I've settled on 7 of them.
Okay.
And I have a handful of honorable mentions, and I've already went and looked up video clips and everything. I haven't written it, but I'm excited to write it. I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love your pop culture stuff.
Yeah, it's been, even if everybody else hates it, I've had a lot of fun like rewatching some of my favorite moments from the MCU and being like, yeah, this still rocks.
Yeah.
For all the awkwardness that the MCU has had in recent years, especially. It had some really high highs for a while there, so I'm excited to share that list with everyone, and then for everyone to tell me why I'm wrong, and I actually forgot the best moments.
I got a sneak peek at your list, and I'm pretty sure you did not forget the top moment at the very least, because that is that's a pretty banger list, Jeremy. I'm looking forward to everyone seeing it on Saturday.
Should I preview the honorable mentions? I could preview.
Yeah,
the honorable
mentions. Let's hear it.
All right. So kind of a combination moment from Guardians of the Galaxy 2, when Yondu says he may have been your father, but he wasn't your daddy. And and I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. that's a fun one. Yes. From Captain America: Winter Soldier, when Cap holds the helicopter in place and just like he's flexing, like I don't even swing that way, but yeah
it was pretty sick, wasn't it?
Yes. So and then I've also got the Daredevil Walk of Shame from She-Hulk.
Okay. Which
I thought was, it's maybe not an impactful moment, but I thought it was really fun, and it really suited the tone of that show. And it was a fun character moment for Daredevil to just not just bring him back, but to be like, here he is as a person again.
I like it.
And then, when Wakanda when the Wakandans line up for battle during Infinity War and they do their war cry. It's a great moment.
It is.
When the Guardians go their separate ways at the ends of end of Guardians 3, like, it's so sad, but it's also like, oh my gosh, they've grown up. They've become better people or different people, and they're ready to heal and move on.
Yeah.
Just a couple more here. When Valkyrie readies her weapon in Thor Ragnarok, she's got, okay, you may not, you've seen the GIF, but she's they're on the pleasure ship or whatever, and it's got a giant cannon, and she takes the giant cannon and just like cocks it, and it's like right up against her hips. That's a fun moment.
Yeah.
When Cap wields Thor's hammer finally in Endgame is a very hype moment. And I think I would be remiss if I didn't include the second ever MCU movie, but the first one anyone remembers, Iron Man. The moment at the end when Tony throws away his notes and says, "I am Iron Man."
Cool.
Which is of course called back to in Endgame. And then the only mention of a post-credit scene that I did in my list is the Avengers Ultron post-credit scene when Thanos takes his gauntlet up and says, "Fine, I'll do it myself."
Yes, that was, oh my gosh. I saw that movie. We were talking about FX skipping around on the Marvel movies the other day, and I saw that post-credit scene. I was like, oh my, we were so deep into the MCU already before we even saw Thanos. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. That was such a good post-credit.
It just was such a hype moment, especially, okay, so little background on me. I'm not a comics guy. I always wanted to be, but I was always intimidated because there are so many comics. And it's like, okay, well, this is comic 37 or comic 437. Where's the first one? I got to start at the beginning, right? So I never really did get into comics. Was one of my friends loaned me his like omnibus of the Infinity War saga.
Oh.
So that was like one of the few stories I was actually familiar with. So then to have Thanos pick up, or Thanos? Who's Thanos? When Thanos picks up his gauntlet and he's just like, "I'm going to do it myself." I'm just like, oh, it's coming.
Oh yeah, man. I wish I could go back and watch some of those movies again for the first time.
Yeah, no, and here's where I'll admit that I think there's some validity to the criticisms that Marvel movies are not cinema as much as they are roller coaster rides in movie form. Like, they're very exciting and they're very fun, but they don't necessarily do a lot to push the medium forward or to express the depths of the medium. They do a lot of really cool things, but it's not entirely accurate to say that there's no cinema involved, especially if you go and check out Guardians of the Galaxy. That whole trilogy is just chock full of cinema. But even with that criticism, like, the roller coaster highs and the drops and the hype is just great. Would it be better, especially recently, if they would spend a little bit more time on some cinema, on some storytelling, on some character building? Yes, but they do know how to really hit a hype moment.
Yeah, they do. I'm hoping it gets back to those great moments again here before too long, but we shall see.
Oh, and I have not seen the Marvels yet, so of course no scenes from that will be included in there. And I will ban anyone who posts spoilers on my article. if they put the spoiler tag on it, fine. Otherwise, you're out of here. So I'll put that in the article too, but you're all warned. You especially, Jacob, because I know you. I know you'll just show up and be like, "Here's the ending of the Marvels."
Wow.
I'll be sad.
You're rude. You're very, very rude, Jeremy. How dare you? I'm gonna leave now.
I'm not welcome here. Nicolas Cage was on a bus and he ran over this Captain Marvel, and it was crazy.
He came out glowing and his eyes were red, and he's Ghost Rider the whole time. Oh, Johnny Blaze, what are you doing here? Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Hey, Jeremy, before we go on to the next segment, I do want to point out two things. Number one, Honey is not on the podcast right now, nor has she been on the recent one, simply because
that.
Yeah, she just had a schedule change. Is helping out a friend in the evenings a little bit more, so she's just not around during recording anymore. I did not kick her off. I want to clarify
that's
that.
Good.
I would be
sad if you did that.
I have enough respect for her at least to fire her. Okay, I'm not just gonna
ganging up on you with her is just one of my favorite pastimes.
Why thank you, Jeremy. We're talking about America's pastime, we're talking about Jeremy and Honey's pastimes. I love it. And then secondly, on the last episode, I was talking about those polls, but I never really read off the poll results very often. So I put a poll question up saying, what should the Royals do with Mikel Garcia? Options were trade him, keep him, extend him, and nothing, just win. And I really thought I was going to see more nothing, just wins, but I didn't get any responses on that one. 100% of responders said trade him.
Wow.
What?
How many, does it tell you how many people responded?
Yeah, and that's probably why
it can't be that many.
It was five. It was still five.
Okay. Well, it's still five people. I wouldn't have, if you told me that you could get a random gathering of five Royals fans and they would all want to trade Mikel Garcia, I would have called you a liar. I would have said, like, if you get five random Royals fans, there can't be that many that want to trade him.
I agree.
So, like, that's a statistical anomaly, my friend.
Yes,
You have found a glitch in the Matrix.
Oh, well, I mean, that implies that we are living in
a Matrix. Starring Nicolas Cage.
Stop. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm never going to live that down, am I? It's literally immortalized on our podcast logo now.
It is. You are Nicolas Cage driving the bus.
Why, thank you. I think I was
dashing. I am a little buggy stroller full of cans that you're about to run over.
That's weird. You don't look like that.
Well,
in the logo. That's strange. That's odd. All right. Well, hey, Jeremy, we were wanting to do a new segment tonight on the podcast as we wrap this up. Could you go ahead and introduce that, Jeremy?
I'm glad you remembered, because I was ready to move on to Royals reviews.
I don't even know what's happening
right now. Yeah, so especially during the holiday season when there's not as much going on, I thought it might be fun to do kind of a nostalgia thing, a memories thing. This is the first time we're doing this. What did I call it? Remembering Royals.
Yeah,
I think I called this. Because you gotta have alliteration, otherwise, what are you doing?
Obviously.
Since this is our first time, obviously, I thought it might be fun to kind of talk about our first Royals games, the first time we ever went to a Royals game.
Okay.
So you wanna go first, Jacob?
Yeah, I will, because my first Royals game was not in Kauffman Stadium, which I think is what will be said for a lot of folks. So my first Royals game was actually in Camden Yards against the Baltimore Orioles. And now this would have been, let's see, this would have been in 2015. Would it have been 2015? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I think, it was 2015. I know, right? What?
I don't want to tell you what year my first Royals game was.
We will hear about it here in a little bit. I am sure.
Anyway, go on.
No, it was 2015. Rainy day there in Baltimore. Absolute drubbing of the Baltimore Orioles. I forget what the final score was.
Was that the one where Moustakas had 10 RBIs?
I think it might have been. I need to remember the exact date so I could pull up that game log, and I'll probably pull it up while you're talking. But
the one I'm thinking of was in September. Sometime.
It was, so mine was definitely in September, because for those who don't know, I am active duty military, and my initial military training after boot camp was on Fort Meade in Maryland, which is like 20 minutes south of Baltimore, 30 minutes north of DC. So we were right in a good middle spot. And my buddy, who is also from Manhattan, Kansas, said, hey, the Royals are coming to town for a 3-game series. And we ended up buying tickets to 2 of the games, if I recall correctly.
Nice. But
we only ended up going to 1 because 1 got rained out. And yeah, and it was just a great Royals victory. This was also after there was a little bit of animosity between the Royals and the Orioles at this time, because they had just absolutely wiped them out of the postseason in 2014 previously.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that was also the same year where the Ventura fight happened, wasn't it?
Who did he fight with?
He fought with Manny Machado. You remember that?
I don't remember that. Okay. I remember him having, you know, a reputation as a guy with a temper. I don't remember him actually getting in a fight.
Yeah, no, that's on me. So the fight happened in June of 2016. And yeah, there were like, it was a full on, you know, Ventura got knocked to the ground after Machado storming the mound. It was about as close of a one-on-one fight as you would see in modern baseball. But yeah, that was my first ever professional. Actually, was that my? Yeah, that was my first ever professional sporting thing ever, was going to Camden Yards. So the bar, go ahead.
How long were you a Royals fan before that happened?
So I was a Royals fan my whole life growing up.
But you never went to a game. I guess because you lived in Manhattan.
Right. So it was growing up, just we were, you know, going for survival. Like I was going to work with my dad after school, starting in junior high, and just dropping money to go see a game in Kauffman was not in the cards. I've been a Chiefs fan my whole life. I still haven't gone to see a game in Arrowhead. And
I've only been to one, and that's only because someone gave me the tickets.
Listen, I was
the last person they could possibly have given the tickets to. They literally asked every single other person at the church if they wanted tickets before they asked me.
Oh, that's tough. Oh, that is absolutely tough.
I got to see Sylvester Morris catch 3 touchdowns against the Chargers.
Wow.
So that was a good one. I was a big Sly Morris fan.
I bet you were after that. So yeah, sorry to butt mine up. So I found the date. It was September 12th, 2015. Okay. And that was the one where Mike Moustakas had 9 RBIs and 2 home runs, you know, and good old, let's see, what are some of the other names in here? This is a star studded lineup looking at it back. Alex Gordon, yeah. Ben Zobrist, Lorenzo Cain, Eric Hosmer, Kendrys Morales, Mike Moustakas, Salvador Perez batting all the way down near the bottom. Yep. Drew Butera came in relief of Salvi for a little bit there. Alex Rios out in right field, the one and only. And then Alcides Escobar batting at the bottom of it.
I remember that game because I was not watching it.
Oh, yeah? And
Mike Moustakas was one of my favorite. He's still one of my favorite players. He was my favorite player on that team. And he was my favorite player even before he broke out, which just made the breakout all the more exciting for me.
Yeah.
But I remember because I was looking at the MLB app on my phone and just watching him rack up all these RBIs in a game that I could not watch because I was visiting friends away from home. So
how dare you?
I was really sad, but it was a good game. First game to be at.
Can you guess who tied Moose for the most hits in that game?
Tied Moose for the most hits?
Yeah.
Rios?
Yeah, Rios. They both had 3 hits.
Yeah. He would just rip off like, hey, I'm just gonna act like a real major league player for a game. And you'd just be like, are you good now? No.
Nope. Still bad. Don't you worry about it. But what's your what's your first, man?
So my first was in 1998.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Way back when.
I remember it was against the Tigers. And it was at Kauffman Stadium. And we had seats behind home plate.
Oh, man.
My dad's brother-in-law, so his sister's husband,
okay,
had some kind of thing in Jackson County where they gave him some tickets, okay, for the game, and he wasn't gonna watch because he didn't care about baseball, so we gave them to us. Me, my dad, and my sister went. I remember that Johnny Damon hit a leadoff home run. It was a Sunday afternoon game. Johnny Damon hit a leadoff home run, and of course they shut off the fireworks to celebrate. My sister thought that cars were exploding in the parking lot. No, my brother went too. I remember now, because there was a rain delay.
Oh my gosh.
There was a rain delay in this game, and me, my dad, and my sister all went back up under the concourse to get out of the rain. But my brother stayed down in his seat, and since he was like the only one in his seat, they like showed him on the Jumbotron, and I was so jealous. If I recall correctly, the Royals ended up winning that game 2-0, and for a while after that, Johnny Damon was my favorite player because leadoff home run at my first game. I mean, come on. I was really bummed out because they do the Sunday fun run where the kids can run the bases after the Sunday games, right? Because it rained, they wouldn't let us.
Oh,
so I was bummed about that. And the next time I went, I was too old to do the running around the bases, which also bummed me out. But yeah, so that was my first game. I had just, you know, fallen in love with the Royals from playing, I think I've talked about this before, Hardball 5. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, now I want to be a Royals fan. I'm going to be a baseball fan. And so my dad was like, well, if you're going to like baseball, I like baseball. Let's go to a game. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. And it was a pretty good experience. I mean, minus the rain.
Yeah, minus that part, which can ruin anything outside, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hey, we both started off our Royals viewing experiences with wins. So that's got to count for something, right?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a difference between a win in 98 and a win in 2015, but
fair. That is, that's absolutely true. Oh, man. Listen, I just growing up away from Kansas City, it was, you knew that the Royals were bad. I knew that growing up, but it was still baseball to watch. And I remember, like, my dad would turn on the game just for whoever the Royals were playing.
Yeah.
If that.
I didn't know that they were bad. Joe Posnanski used to write a yearly article. I don't know if you remember this or ever even knew it, where he would write an article right before the season would start, maybe on opening day, about why the Royals would win this year.
Oh my god!
Why they would make the playoffs this year. And I always bought in. I was drinking the Kool-Aid, and like, of course, he wasn't serious most of the time. Because he knew the team wasn't bad, but he wanted some optimism.
Right.
And Joe Posnanski, such a talented writer. We were lucky to have him writing for the Kansas City Star for as long as he did. And I bought the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker. I thought the Royals were going to be good every year. I was ready. Let's go.
Oh, man. Sorry, now I'm thinking about Joe Posnanski because, golly, that guy is so talented. He is very jealous. I'm very jealous.
My mom does not care about sports. She would read his articles, his columns, just because he was that talented of a writer.
Yeah.
And he would pull you in.
He still is. Like
absolutely. I follow him on
Substack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great stuff over there. Well, hey Jeremy, let's we ran a little longer than we would like to. That's fine. That's fine, man. If folks are still listening, they're listening to us for the personality at this point. Let's go ahead and get on out of here with some Royals reviews. What'd you say? Oh, I said those are personalities. Okay. Yeah. Maybe they just have a taste in eclectic personalities.
Maybe.
Jeremy, what do you have for a review this week?
Oh my goodness. A Royals review he asks for.
Yes.
As if I should have known that this was coming and prepared for it.
That is crazy, man.
I'm gonna have to go back in my bag of tricks here.
Oh boy.
Of older things that I've enjoyed. I'm gonna throw at you Death Note.
Okay.
Death Note is a classic psychological thriller anime.
The movie, right? the movie was elite.
No. I actually enjoyed the movie. I thought it was kind of, it was not good. I enjoyed it for how bad it was.
Okay.
But the series is just absolutely fantastic. I was watching a YouTube video today on like the anime that this YouTuber I follow would recommend to people as their first anime. So first you got to get their taste, you know, like, because anime is not all one thing. It's got every genre inside.
Yeah.
So, and his psychological thriller that he recommended was Death Note. I'm like, yeah, that was one of the few I agreed with him on. I was like, yes, that's the correct one to recommend to people. It's just so good. And of course it has one of the best, most anime moments of all time, where the villain, who is also sometimes the protagonist, is monologuing to himself about his dastardly plans and the things he's going to do. And he's so excited about it. He's like, I'm going to do this and then this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. Very dramatic reading, right? And then he goes, and then I will take this potato chip and eat it.
Yeah.
And it's just bonkers.
It is.
But it's exactly my speed.
Yeah, that is a very anime meta moment. I will say that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, Death Note, listen, good anime. Don't bother giving the movies time of day. There's like four or five of them out there. Please don't subject yourself to that. Just watch the show. All right, for a review, I am going to stick with the Pacific region, but I'm going to go over to Korea to talk about the band called Stray Kids.
I've never heard of Stray Kids.
They are a K-pop group, of course. They are, let's see, I think they're in, sorry, excuse me, they are eight members now.
Wow.
Not nine, right. Originally.
Pretty big.
Yeah, that is, listen, that's just how K-pop usually is made up. It's a big group. And I'm blanking on what K-pop band kind of like took things by storm, and then
BTS.
Yeah, BTS, and then like they disbanded because one of the older members had to go
They didn't disband, they suspended.
They suspended. Thank you. That's the right word.
They will attempt to come back once everyone's done with their mandatory military service.
Yes. Very interested to see how that turns out. But that kind of left a void, and I think Stray Kids are one of the bands kind of filling that void. They are, I'm not going to blame you if you have not heard of them. That's fine. They have some very good songs.
I used to be super into the K-pop scene.
It's a lot.
But I quit paying close attention when Block B stopped making music.
Ah, gotcha.
Which is probably before your time.
Yes. I know of them.
You know of them. All right, cool.
That's about like, it.
I'll call that a win, baby. Yeah.
Listen, it is Stray Kids, very, very good. They meld in, you know, English as well, but it is primarily in whatever it's Korean.
Pretty typical Korean.
Yeah, it usually is. They haven't had a world tour yet, nothing like that. But if you're looking for something new, I don't know what they're saying most of the time. That's okay. I vibe.
I prefer it that way, honestly.
Yeah. I just like the music.
There's so many times I go to listen to a song and I'm like, I'm really digging the vibes of like the music, but then like the lyrics aren't doing it for me. And I'm just like, well, never mind. But when I go to listen to Korean music, I'm like, yep, here we go. Doesn't matter what the words are. I have no idea. There was one song that really epitomized that for me. I cannot remember the name of the song, but it was by the band Beast, which is of course spelled B2ST, which is how you spell Beast.
Obviously.
And it was like a song, it was called Good Luck.
Okay.
And I took from that, from like the beat of the song and everything and the dance moves and the whole attitudes, that it was like, you dumped me. Well, good luck to you. Go live your life. I'm going to be better off without you kind of like attitude about it. Mm-hmm. And then I went and looked up the lyrics at some point and it was like the opposite of that. And I'm like, I just go back to not knowing what they're saying. I'm good.
Yeah, we'll keep being blissfully unaware of that. Alrighty, Jeremy, let's go ahead and get on out of here and give our listeners a spell. But hey, if you're still listening, we greatly appreciate it. And we think you have great taste in baseball podcasts.
Should we tell people about the schedule?
So, Jeremy has won a battle against me.
You act like I'm trying to kill the podcast right now. Jeremy has secretly been trying to sabotage this. Well, it's not so secret. I mean, have you seen the way he derails everything?
He's been trying to sabotage us for months. For months now. No, it's... So, I was stubborn. I was stubborn when the offseason began. I said, no, we still have enough stuff to talk about the Kansas City Royals for two episodes every week. And the fact is, that's just not how it is right now. And that's unfortunate. And unless we have like an interview or there's a big move or something like that, right now we are just going to be moving to one podcast episode releasing every Thursday morning. Every Thursday morning. No more Sunday mornings. No more Monday mornings. For now. We're going to go to Thursday mornings until...
For now.
For, yeah. For now. Something like that. No, for now. No, that ain't it. We're talking about boy bands and stuff.
Talking about boy bands, let me throw out some gang signs. It'll be fine.
Oh my gosh. Oh, but yeah, we are just going to go to Thursday morning episodes for the time being. When things start ramping up, we'll adjust. Not going to commit to anything. I'm not going to say, oh, well, by the time spring training starts, we'll be back. No, maybe that's not what it is. But we want to keep bringing you high quality content and not just rambling on like I am right now. Okay. So,
but you're so good at it.
Oh, thanks, Jeremy. You were too. You're really good at this.
Well, it's just like a return fire. It's like in tennis where they do a spike and they're like, yeah. And then you're just like, nope, right at your face.
I hit you with that Uno reverse card. Oh,
get us out of here.
Yeah, let's get on out of here. Listen, you can find us on social media in the links in the podcast description below. But most importantly, please go follow Royals Review on X, Facebook, and RoyalsReview.com. For more of our nonsense, you can find it on Royals Review and Kings of Kaufman for myself. But for right now, I am Jacob Milham. That is the blue-haired freak, Jeremy Greco. So long for now. Thank you for your support. And until next time, go Royals!